The U.S.-Israeli campaign of killing, destruction, and starvation against Palestinians in Gaza continues for 158 days. The Israeli occupation forces killed three more Palestinians in the West Bank as the regime intensifies deadly crackdown in the month of Ramadan. Lebanon's resistance fighters fired dozens of rockets at Israeli targets in northern occupied territories following the regime's attacks on Lebanon's Baalbek. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Now, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip see no ease in their suffering as the Israeli bombardment and siege continue even during the holy month of Ramadan. Now, here's the moment when a new airstrike targeted the southern city of Rafah. The regime hit the central city of Deir al-Balah twice, killing nine Palestinians and injuring some more. 11 others lost their lives after troopers once again opened fire on aid seekers in Gaza City. The death toll from the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza since October 7th, now standing at 31,200, most of them women and children. People in the watered and coastal sliver broke their fast on the first day of Ramadan on Monday. The holy month has begun while Gazans are grappling with severe starvation, with most of residential buildings being reduced to rubble. Now, a short time ago, we spoke to our correspondent, Motiebu Musabbe, in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah. He said that Israeli warplanes keep attacking residential buildings amid the worsening humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
The Israeli occupation forces are actually committed more massacres over the last night as here in Deir al-Balah city, the Israeli warplanes destroyed another residential building in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. The Israeli occupation forces destroyed another residential building in Al-Karara neighborhood located in the eastern part of Khan Yunis city. At least 11 Palestinian dead bodies were extracted from the rubble of that destroyed house. And when it comes to the other areas of Gaza Strip, The Israeli occupation forces also continued their airstrikes against Khan Yunis city and against Rafah city. Another residential building was destroyed in Rafah city, particularly in Hay al-Jinena, which is located in the eastern part of Rafah city. And even in Khan Yunis city, more Palestinian residential buildings and more houses were blown up by the Israeli occupation forces, particularly in Hamas city and the surrounding area of Hamas city, which is located, as you know, in the western part of Khan Yunis city. However, in Gaza City, the Israeli occupation forces also committed another appalling massacre after targeting the Palestinian civilians who were gathering near Al-Kuwait roundabout waiting for the humanitarian aid. In addition to that, Jabalia refugee camp was subjected to heavy bombardments after the Israeli warplanes waged several airstrikes against the residential areas. And when it comes to the catastrophic humanitarian conditions, as you know, that these conditions are unfolding more and more with Ramadan, as the people here are trying and are grappling actually to have meals for iftar and for sahur, and they do not have any real access to those meals, as you know that Gaza City particularly and the northern part of Gaza Strip are still suffocated by the Israeli siege imposed on them, as the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing them from having any real access to those basic humanitarian needs.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in a message on the occasion of the holy months of Ramadan, has called for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip to honor the spirit of the holy Muslim month.
Today marks the start of the holy months of Ramadan, a period when Muslims around the world celebrate and spread the values of peace, reconciliation, and solidarity. Yet, Even though Ramadan has begun, the killing, bombing, and bloodshed continue in Gaza. My strongest appeal today is to honor the spirit of Ramadan by silencing the guns and removing all obstacles to ensure the delivery of life-saving aid at the speed and massive scale required.
A vessel carrying humanitarian aid for Palestinians has set sail from a port in Cyprus. It's now en route to the besieged Gaza Strip. It's being sent by Spanish NGO Open Arms. It's carrying 200 tons of food to Gaza. This is aimed at opening a new sea route of aid to Gaza, where the population is on the brink of famine due to the Israeli genocide and blockade. The World Food Program says the risk of famine is increasing by the day. Gaza is facing the worst food crisis in recent history. More than 500,000 people there are suffering from catastrophic hunger and starvation. At least 27 Palestinians have already died of malnutrition and dehydration in Gaza. No respite from Israeli violence against Palestinians, no matter if it's Gaza or elsewhere. Regime forces have taken the lives of 3 more Palestinians in the West Bank. Now, among the dead is a young man who succumbed to the wounds he sustained during an Israeli raid on an area near the city of Jenin. There were 2 other deadly attacks north of the city of Tol Kerem, and one of them, the regime forces shot a 25-year-old man. The other raid took place near the town of Atil, where undercover Israeli troops killed another man. Since October 7th, the occupied territories have been witnessing intensified raids by the regime's forces. Hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and thousands more abducted in the West Bank in more than 5 months. Now, our correspondent Mona Kendall joined us earlier from the occupied Ramallah with details regarding the latest Israeli raids in the West Bank.
Israeli forces disguised as Palestinians or as Arabs raided the towns or an area between the towns of Allar and Zeta, northern Tol Kerem, and they succeeded, this Dovdivan unit succeeded to murder a Palestinian, Mohammed Mustafa Jaber, 32 years old, originally from the village of Arabi in Jenin. The Israeli military claimed that this man, Mohammed Jaber, was on his way to carry out an anti-Israeli operation inside the lands that were occupied 1948. So Jaber was inside one of the shops there when the Dovdivan unit, the undercover units, arrived at the area, and they claimed that he had a gun and that he had opened fire at them before he was shot and killed. And of course, his body was confiscated by the Israeli forces. Several hours later, another Palestinian succumbed to his injuries. The Palestinian paramedics said that a Palestinian was seriously injured and was transferred to a hospital also in the same area. Several hours later, the Palestinian Ministry of Health revealed that Tawfiq Hussein, also from Jenin, was shot, wounded, and then succumbed to his injuries.
The deputy political bureau chief of Palestinian Resistance Movement has held talks with the secretary general of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement in Beirut, and that amid the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Khalil Al-Hayya and Said Hassan Nasrallah discussed a wide range of issues, including the recent developments in Gaza and the Akbar West Bank, as well as ceasefire negotiations. The meeting came as both resistance groups have fought Israeli forces on different fronts. Since the beginning of the genocidal war in October, Hezbollah has exchanged fire with the Israeli military in support of Palestinians. The resistance group says it will stop attacks only if the regime stops its deadly aggression against Gazans. The Israeli regime has performed a series of new operations against Lebanon, triggering retaliatory rocket attacks from Hezbollah against the occupied territories. According to Lebanese officials, Israeli strikes hit the eastern city of Baalbek and its vicinity. Some of the strikes targeted an area near the city of Taraya, 20 kilometers west of Baalbek. Now, in response, Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets toward Israeli position in the occupied Golan Heights and Galilee region. No immediate reports of damage or casualties from Hezbollah's strikes. That's the first time that Israel has pounded eastern Lebanon since the eruption of exchanges between the regime and Hezbollah. The resistance movement says that it will continue attacking Israeli targets until the regime stops the genocidal war on Gaza. The Israeli military has recently performed aerial raids even on residential areas inside Lebanon. We were joined by our correspondent in Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, earlier. She provided us details about the latest exchange of fire between Israel and Hezbollah.
they do target Baalbek and eastern Lebanon in the vicinity of the cities of Taraya and Baalbek itself. We know that there was total destruction of the buildings that were targeted, and one person has been killed. Previous time also, it was more of an open area that was targeted the previous time, like agricultural lands. There was some sort of a residence there, but that also led to the killing of two Hezbollah members. And now with this in place, it seems that Hezbollah has basically become impatient with the Israelis' presumptuousness when it comes to how they are targeting Lebanon. The fact that they're trying to put a lot of pressure on the resistance and on Lebanon itself, with the fact that you do have some opposition from Hezbollah's political foes when it comes to Hezbollah's supportive front for the resistance inside Gaza and for the people of Gaza. And so it seemed that this is why Hezbollah had, in retaliation, launched some, we're talking about more than 50 rockets that were witnessed or that were reported in some areas. The Israelis are talking about more than 100 rockets on two different rounds. A group of rockets was against the Galila region. Another salvo was against in the Golan Heights. And it seemed that many of them landed and struck their targets. And how that will play out also is another surprise. And the number of rockets that Hezbollah is showing day by day, seemingly increasing and targeting areas that are further off. Yesterday, for example, they targeted areas in the Golan Heights more and more. And so it seemed that for Hezbollah, they are basically unifying the land when it comes to how they target and what they target.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it's carried out a retaliatory attack on Ben Gurion Airport, deep into Israeli-occupied territories. The Umbrella Resistance group says it targeted the strategic international airport with a drone. It vowed to continue operations against what are called enemies' strongholds in support of the people in Gaza and a response to the genocide against Palestinians. Since last October, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has staged a series of attacks against Israeli positions inside the occupied lands. It's also raided U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for complicity in the genocide in Gaza. Yemeni armed forces say that they have hit another American ship in the Red Sea, vowing to step up maritime operations in support of Palestinians.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against the American ship Pinocchio in the Red Sea with a number of appropriate naval missiles. The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that their military operations will escalate during the month of Ramadan in support of the oppressed Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
The Yemeni strike has been confirmed by U.S. Central Command, which claims that Yemeni missiles did not impact the vessel and caused no injuries or damage. According to CENTCOM, U.S. forces carried out 6 retaliatory attacks, destroying an unmanned underwater vessel and 18 anti-ship missiles belonging to Yemen. Tensions have run high in and around the Red Sea over Israel's genocide in Gaza. Yemen has for a number of times targeted Israeli-linked vessels and a crucial maritime lane for trade. In response to anti-Israeli operations, the U.S. and the U.K. have repeatedly launched air raids against Yemen since mid-January. The Yemeni armed forces say that despite the aggression, they will go on with their operations in solidarity with Gaza. Russian and Chinese vessels have entered Iran's waters as the three friendly countries are set to hold joint naval drills in the Sea of Oman. The drills, dubbed the Security Bond 2024, will kick off later today and will end on Friday. Representatives from Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Oman, India, and South Africa will be participating in the maneuvers. The drills are aimed at reinforcing regional security and expanding multilateral cooperation among the countries in attendance. Supporting regional peace and maritime security is also among the drills' targets. The Islamic movement in Nigeria has held a protest against the massacre of innocent Palestinians in Gaza by the Israeli military. Protesters marched on the U.S. Embassy in Abuja and staged a sit-in there. Our correspondent, Danjuma Abdullahi, reports.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Nigeria, the Islamic movement held a rally through the streets of the capital, Abuja, in a peaceful protest against the massacre of innocent civilians in Gaza. The protest march took the demonstrators to the gate of the United States Embassy, where they sat down and submitted a letter of protest condemning the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. involvement in the killing of innocent Palestinians.
America is one of the major party in this killing of innocent female and children in Gaza. Since October 7th to date, they have killed 31,000, more than 31,000 innocent people, majorly female and children in Gaza.
The demonstrators blame the United States and British governments for using their influence to block a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire. They said every decent government has condemned the Israeli terror attacks on the Palestinians, but the U.S. government has continued to support the mass murder of innocent Palestinians.
They are killing female and children. They are imposing starvation on innocent female and children. Babies have been seen under rubble, crying inside blood. We see a lot of fathers carrying a lifeless body of their children killed by Israelis. Anybody that has concern for humanity should come out today on the street and show his solidarity with Palestinians.
The demonstrators burned the U.S. and Israeli flags as they slammed Tel Aviv's regime impunity and the silence of the international community. Many Muslims in Nigeria believe that Israel's continuous killing of Palestinians in Gaza on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan is a clear proof of the regime's disrespect for Islamic sanctities. The protesters here are urging world leaders to pressure Israel to end the massacre in Gaza. Anjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The fast food giant McDonald's has cited the Israeli regime's war in Gaza as a factor in the company's missing its first quarterly sales target in nearly 4 years. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Bloomberg News Agency reported recently numerous major Western brands have shed customers and seen profits dented due to boycott campaigns in West Asia targeting companies seen as supporting the Israeli regime in its brutal war in Gaza. The Israeli regime declared its war on the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas after the latter's October 7th surprise attack that killed an estimated 1,200 Israelis. An Israeli offensive that followed has resulted in a reported massacring of over 30,000 Palestinians in the enclave and sparked a wave of anti-Israeli boycott movements in majority Muslim countries throughout the world. According to Bloomberg News Agency, the shares of American Restaurants International, which operates KFC, Pizza Hut, Krispy Kreme, and Hardee's franchises in West Asia, have dropped by 27% on the Saudi Stock Exchange in the past 3 months, Analysts expect the company's first quarter profits to plunge on account of the boycotts. Coca-Cola's Turkish distributor saw sales volume drop by 22% in the fourth quarter of 2023 against the previous 3 months, after the country's parliament joined the boycott movement in November and said it would remove the soft drink from its cafeterias. According to the fast food giant's chief executive officer, Chris Kempczinski, McDonald's franchises in the region have experienced a meaningful business impact from boycotts, although he did not disclose the exact scope of the losses. The company has been in hot water among West Asian customers since mid-October, when its franchisee in the occupied Palestinian territories boasted on social media platforms that it was giving free meals to Israeli soldiers. Other Western corporations, including Starbucks, IBM, and Nestle, have also faced boycotts. Commenting on the trend, Fawaz Georges, professor of West Asian politics at the London School of Economics, told Bloomberg News Agency, "So far, whether McDonald's or Starbucks, they're hurting. The perception that Washington favors Israel really affects these corporations because America is implicated in Israel's brutal war on Gaza." Meanwhile, local brands have seen a boost in business due to the boycotts. According to Bloomberg, in Kuwait, homegrown coffee stores saw earnings soar over the past 3 months as customers largely stopped visiting Starbucks. According to its founder, Moaf Fauri, Jordanian coffee chain Astrolabe saw sales jump by 30%. He noted that the chain has dropped American and French products across its branches and instead buys from local sources. According to commercial director Yusuf Atwan in Egypt, the local soda brand Spiro Spathis has seen sales skyrocket. Yusuf Atwan said, "Suddenly we were bombarded with orders from supermarkets, restaurants, and we were trying hard to cope with the demand. Clients would go to restaurants and either ask for our brand or at least refuse to drink those on the boycott list." Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. McDonald's cited the Israeli war in Gaza as a factor in the fast food giant's missing its first quarterly sales target in nearly 4 years. McDonald's chief executive officer Chris Kempczinski said on Monday, 7th of February, that the war had a disheartening effect on sales in West Asia region and other Muslim-majority nations such as Malaysia and Indonesia. Chris Kempczinski said in a conference call, "So long as this conflict, this war, is going on, we're not expecting to see any significant improvement in sales." He added, "It's a human tragedy what's going on, and I think that does weigh on brands like ours." Sales growth for the fast food chains division for West Asia, China and India during October to December reached 0.7%, far below market expectations of 5.5%. The slump comes after customers in Muslim countries called for a boycott of McDonald's in response to its Israeli franchisee donating thousands of free meals to Israeli soldiers. Following the announcement by McDonald's Israel, franchisees in Saudi Arabia, Oman, Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Egypt, Bahrain and Turkey distanced themselves from the donations and collectively pledged millions of dollars in aid to the Palestinians in Gaza. While the Chicago-based McDonald's is known as one of the most iconic US brands, most of its restaurants worldwide are locally owned and operated. McDonald's chief executive officer Chris Kempczinski said last month that the war and associated boycott campaign was having a meaningful effect on business in the region. McDonald's is among a number of Western brands that have been hit hard with boycotts due to their perceived support for the Israeli regime. Last week, the cafe chain Starbucks slashed its annual sales forecast, citing a slump in business in West Asia. The British newspaper The Telegraph has also covered the same story and tells us more. The chief executive officer of the fast food giant McDonald's claimed recently that misinformation about McDonald's support for Israel is having a meaningful impact on its sales in West Asia region. The chief executive officer of McDonald's, Chris Gabczynski, said calls from pro-Palestinian groups to boycott McDonald's over the war in Gaza were harming operations. McDonald's has been targeted by pro-Palestinian campaigners after photographs and videos on social media sites showed franchise stores in Israel giving free meals to Israeli soldiers during the bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement, the BDS movement, a pro-Palestinian organization, called for people to boycott McDonald's in November after franchisees openly supported the Israeli military. Chris Gabczynski, McDonald's chief executive officer, said in a blog, "Several markets in West Asia and some outside the region are experiencing a meaningful business impact due to the war and associated misinformation that is affecting brands like McDonald's." Gabczynski claimed, "This is disheartening and ill-founded. In every country where we operate, including in Muslim countries, McDonald's is represented by local owner-operators who work tirelessly to serve and support their communities, while employing thousands of people, their fellow citizens. People throughout Pakistan and other Muslim countries are increasingly joining a campaign to boycott the Israeli regime and American products in response to Israel's ongoing brutal war in Gaza. As part of that movement, an exhibition has been set up in the port city of Karachi to showcase local brands and encourage support for products that are not associated with either the Israeli regime or the United States. Also, hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters have taken to the streets of London, England, calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and a boycott of Israeli-linked brands. The demonstrators were part of a wider campaign to boycott Israeli goods and companies that support Israel's ongoing genocidal war in the Gaza Strip.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are currently focusing on the 53rd letter, which is a letter he wrote to Malik Ashtar, in which there are certain guidelines with regards to leadership. In one of the phrases, Imam Ali alayhi salam When talking about certain people in sensitive positions who commit treason, he says that the higher level authority needs to have spies who give him information, trustworthy, good spies that give credible results and reports with regards to the workings of a certain civil officer. And let's say if that civil officer is proven to have committed treason, then he's supposed to be punished. And the punishment that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions here, فَقَسَتَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعُقُوبَةَ فِي بَدَنِهِ, that the higher level authority, that means let's say the president or someone in a high position, he needs to apply corporal punishment on the person. And we say that, of course, this has some wisdom, because when these types of punishments are there, they would be a very strong deterrent for people who even want to think about committing treason, and it will keep them on track and will make them commit and perform their duties.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say, وَأَخَذْتَهُ بِمَا أَصَابَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ, that you as the leader, the higher level authority, you need to get hold of him because of the things that he has done. He has to face the consequences of what he has done, for the actions he has committed, for the treason that he has done. Of course, there are treasons that are of different type, yeah? The khiyana, as we say, or the treason, or the treachery, or the stealing, let's say, that has been done, has got levels. There are certain times that a person misuses some funds, and sometimes no, there is a high level treason. A person actually goes, lets out secrets of the government and causes the government to be destroyed and does bad things, you know, for the people. There are different levels, so each levels will have a punishment of its own kind. But here we're talking about, for example, misuse of funds or similar things. But if it is something more concerning, something more sensitive, then the punishments, of course, have levels on how to deal with that negative, you can say, effect that has trickled down in the society because of the act of that person. So, a person, when Imam Ali al-Salam says, وَأَخَذْتَهُ بِمَا أَصَابَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ, on the one hand, it includes the punishment, but of course, it also includes a good level of questions and answerability. That how comes, for example, you have so much money in your account, let's say. How did it come to your account? What did you do that you end up getting so rich, while you with this type of with the amount of, for example, money that you're getting in this position, you're not supposed to have these many belongings? What's happening? Like, what is the reason? Okay, if there's a valid reason, why not? We'll take that valid reason. But if there's no way to prove and there's no valid reason, then there has to be some kind of action taken, and therefore this will keep those leaders and those people in check. ثُمَّ نَصَبْتَهُ بِمَقَامِ الْمَذَلَّةِ. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam also goes to say that not only that, you are supposed to stamp him with humiliation. He has to be stamped with humiliation if he does certain things. It's not that he's just going to be punished secretly and he's just, everything is going to be hush-hush and quietly maybe he'll be taken out of the country. No, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that these people have to be stamped with humiliation. وَسَمَّتْهُ بِالْخِيَانَةِ, and they have to be named as traitors. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the peak of eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
So, Imam Ali alayhi salam is not just saying that you give them a punishment that will be very easy for them so that they continue to do what they want and it will not have that deterrence that is required. No, one who is coming into that sensitive position knows what he's signing up for. He knows that he's supposed to sign up for a task that is sensitive, that is going to affect the lives of millions of people. And therefore, he has to be careful. And he also knows that in Islam, if he takes up such a position, and if he commits active treason, and he commits acts of stealing and, let's say, misuse of his position, then there are consequences, coming from physical consequences on his body, up until other types of consequences that could be of a financial nature, that include his own, let's say, position, his respect and his honor, that will also be affected. And that's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says here, once he is found and proven to be a traitor, or he has committed, let's say, some kind of treason, from the lower level of treason to the higher levels of treason, whatever it is, if it is proven and he is doing it, actively and with all those conditions that are there in the fiqh that can be referred to at its position and at its right time, such a person has to be named as a person who has committed treason, as it has to be known to the people. Samathu bil khiyana. It's not that he has committed this bad act and then you just forget about it and you just continue giving him nice positions and good names. No, this person is supposed to be clearly known as a traitor, as a person who has committed treason. وَقَلَّتَّهُ عَارَ التُّهْمَ. And the chain of accusation has to be placed on him. He has to be known that he is now a person who is accused of a crime. This is going to be a very strong deterrence. If a person knows this is going to happen to me if I misuse my position, it's going to be a very strong deterrence, and of course it will keep that person on track with regards to his duties. These are certain important statements that Imam Ali alayhi salam has with regards to leadership and with regards to taking care of being committed to the position and delivering and not performing acts of treason and, let's say, misuse of funds and misappropriation and misuse of positions. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He continues to protect us in all our affairs, and especially if we have any such positions, that He gives us the strength to deliver properly and accurately in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
More than 200 legislators from European countries which fund Israel militarily recently called for their countries to stop selling weapons to Tel Aviv, citing violations of international law in Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website New Arab has covered this story and tells us more. The European Union has been marred by deepening divisions over Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians of Gaza, which shows the world's most powerful bloc is fast decaying. The 5 months of no-holds-barred Israeli assault on the besieged territory has not only exposed the international community, but it has also laid bare deep fault lines in the European Union. The heads of the 27 European countries have limited themselves to issuing passive statements about sending humanitarian aid to Gaza, whilst refusing to make an unambiguous call for a complete ceasefire in Gaza or building pressure on the Israeli regime to end its military assault on Gaza. In its recent statement, the Council of Europe, after condemning the operations of Palestinian resistance movements and emphasizing Tel Aviv's so-called right to defend itself, called for unhindered access to humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza, including through humanitarian corridors. However, according to a report in Politico, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen angered the European Union's foreign policy team in an unusual move. Some 800 European Union staff also wrote a letter protesting that von der Leyen showed unjustified bias towards Tel Aviv. Ursula von der Leyen has been unequivocal and unapologetic about her support for the Israeli regime and the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, which hasn't gone down well with some EU officials. She was one of the first Western leaders to visit the occupied Palestinian territories in October to give her stamp of approval to Netanyahu's war on Gaza. More recently, in von der Leyen's speech at the Hudson Institute in Washington, she again harped about the Zionist regime's right to defend itself, whilst completely ignoring the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. Commenting on the European Commission President's speech, a senior European Union official said, she expressed her personal views and presented an unbalanced view of EU's position on the situation in Gaza. According to some officials, Ursula von der Leyen's relationship with EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell has become strained, and the crisis has heightened as the two of them have slightly different stances on Gaza. Last month, in an interview with the Spanish daily El País, Josep Borrell slammed the EU chief over her visit to the occupied Palestinian territories in October of last year, pointing to a deepening rift within the European bloc. Josep Borrell said, the trip by von der Leyen, with such an absolutely pro-Israeli stance, without representing anyone but herself in a matter of international politics, has had a high geopolitical cost for Europe.
Thank you.
The Spanish newspaper El País, in a separate report, said Israel has been irked by the EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell because Borrell has situated himself on the Palestinian side. On the other hand, Michael Oren, a former Israeli envoy to the United States, said the EU foreign policy chief should not be allowed to set foot on the occupied Palestinian territories. These differences and divisions have even spread to other leaders of the alliance because the history of the European Union has shown that in times of crisis and when the bloc faces serious challenges, it cannot make comprehensive decisions and is not able to speak in one voice. The former Belgian Foreign Minister Mark Iskens, on the eve of the US-led international coalition's military attack on Iraq in 1990, said Europe is an economic giant, but a political dwarf and a military worm. A clear demonstration of that has been the war between Russia and Ukraine, in which no initiative has been seen on the part of the Europeans to end the war. Europe has surrendered itself to the United States. Although the bloc has a unanimous voice on Ukraine, it has become a divided house on Gaza Strip. The Israeli genocide case at the International Court of Justice at The Hague, Netherlands, brought by South Africa, also drew attention to these deepening differences in the European Union. Germany had, before the ICJ ruling, said the genocide case lacked any basis and declared that it would intervene in the International Court of Justice's proceedings as a third party. Some other countries have welcomed the ICJ's ruling. The ceasefire resolution introduced by the United Nations Security Council and the UN General Assembly in recent months also laid bare these glaring differences and divisions within the European bloc. For example, on 26th of October last year, 8 EU countries voted in favour of a ceasefire in Gaza at the UN General Assembly, while 4 European countries voted against it. On 12th of December last year, in another vote, 17 European Union countries backed the truce arrangement, while 2 countries voted against it. Some other European Union member states, including France and Spain, were against it for different reasons. On the situation in the Red Sea, European Union member countries have not been on the same page. On 11th of January this year, only 8 countries, 3 of them EU members, Denmark, the Netherlands and Germany, signed a joint statement with the United States and Britain, justifying the airstrikes against Yemen. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to a Belgian Member of Parliament, who is among the more than 200 lawmakers who have signed a letter calling for an arms embargo on Israel, Europe risks any credibility to speak on Russia's special operations in Ukraine if it remains silent on Gaza. Simon Mutkin, a Belgian Member of Parliament, told Al Jazeera television in an interview on Saturday 9th of March, "We are so hypocritical in Europe to speak about international law when we speak about Ukraine and Russia, but if we don't have the same views when we speak about the Palestinians, we will not have any credit in the future to speak about it." More than 200 legislators from European countries which fund Israel militarily recently called for their countries to stop selling weapons to Tel Aviv, citing violations of international law as Israel continues its relentless bombardment of Gaza. In a letter signed by parliamentarians from 13 countries, the European lawmakers announced that they would not be complicit and would take immediate coordinated action in their respective legislatures to stop their governments from arming Israel. The Belgian Member of Parliament said that his own country had to act to stop Israel as well, citing a risk of genocide if countries continue to fund Israel militarily. Simon Mutkin, who raised concerns about an internal split in the European Union that has seen the bloc struggle to address Israel's war on Gaza, cohesively said, "As a signatory country of the Convention Against Genocide, Belgium has a legal and moral obligation to act and prevent the risk of genocide. So I think this letter is a good first step, but we need to go further." The United States is by far the biggest funder of Israel militarily, providing roughly $3 billion worth of aid to Israel every year. Presently, US lawmakers are debating an additional $14 billion package to support Tel Aviv operations in Gaza. Washington sent guided missile carriers and F-35 fighter jets, as well as other advanced military equipment, to the regime in Tel Aviv. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We congratulate to all Muslim brothers and sisters who already have started their fasting. In some countries there is Ramadan, inshallah Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. And we hope beside fastings you keep yourselves in your prayers. Beside that you keep your all Muslims in your prayers, especially Mu'mineen in Yemen, in Iraq, in Palestine. They really need our prayers, and we remember them in our prayers. May Allah support them and help them, inshallah. There's a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. When hadith starts from قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ and it's not part of Quran, that means it's hadith Qudsi. So we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala two types of sentences. The sentences have been used in Quran, and that's called wahi, and this is special messages, and there's a lot of other messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah for us that is called hadith Qudsi, narrated from Allah through Jibreel. And this hadith is like this: قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ هُوَ لَهُ. Everything you do, it's for you. You eat, you wear, you travel, it's all for you. All deeds you do, it's all for you. غَيْرَ السِّيَامِ هُوَ لِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you fast, your fasting is only for me. So nobody can fast for himself. Nobody likes fasting. When we fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if someone fasts, he fasts for me. غَيْرَ السِّيَامِ هُوَ لِي وَأَنَا أُجْزِي بِهِ. And I will reward for your fast. If you fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward you. And there's some types of fastings, the common fastings, the special ones for fastings, and fastings for awliya. Those are the very special ones, and they have certain criterias. Common fasting is like preventing oneself from eating, from drinking, from having relationship with the husband and wife, from other couple of things, which is common fasting. That's it. But there is a fastings for special ones, that which is called for khawas. When they fast, they watch their eyes, their listening, their tongue, and they watch their all senses. We have five senses, so they control all their senses. But there is another level of fasting, and that is when you, beside preventing yourselves from something which makes your fast void, you do a lot of things beside that to take yourself very much higher, to close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a fasting for very, very, very special ones. And Imam Sadiq, there's a hadith says, لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ أَنْ لَا يَأْكُلِ الْإِنسَانُ وَلَا يَشْرِبُ فَقَطْ وَلَكِنْ إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعَكَ وَبَصَرَكَ وَلِسَانَكَ. When you fast, your eyes are going to fast, your ears are going to fast, your tongue is going to fast. Basically, you fast with your entire existence. You fast with your entire existence. لَيْسَ الصِّيَامُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ. Fasting is not only just preventing yourself from eating and drinking. No.